Numbers 25, verse 1. I got this. I was riding my motorcycle and I looked down and I have a bad habit of reading signs, sometimes out loud. I guess when I become a real old man, it's going to be, you know, you just look and read signs. And I saw this bumper sticker. And when I saw it, I just translated it into my way of thinking. And it didn't say this, but it was close to this. And the title of my sermon tonight is, I am the Christian the devil warned you about. If you've heard any criticism about Jesse, it's probably true. Not the bad stuff, because I've learned to irritate the devil. I made up my mind that every day that I breathe, I'm going to stomp that bozo brain's head in the ground by the power of Jesus' name. I don't wait to get in church to get somebody saved. I don't care where am I at. If I'm going to do something for God, I'll do it publicly. I'm not embarrassed. You can't embarrass me because I'm a dead man. It's not me that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And I made up my mind that I was a good sinner. I mean a good sinner. I mean, I taught the devil a few things he ain't never heard of. You understand? But I had a praying mama that wouldn't give up on me. Kept praying and believing God for me to come into the kingdom of God. Well, when I got saved, I said, I'm going to be as good for Jesus as I was for the devil. So it doesn't make a lick of difference to me where you are or where I'm at. If the anointing of God want to come out of my life, it's coming. I don't care if I'm in a restaurant. I don't do that to get attention. I just move by the flow of the Holy Ghost. I have something in my life. It's called zeal. And I'm going to deal with zeal tonight. I am the Christian the devil warned you about. The other day I walked by a demon-possessed person. And that demon went, Jesse, Jesse. I went, whoa, you know me by my first name, don't you, boy? Hallelujah. They get nervous, you know what I'm saying? And it's just such a blessing. And this man in the Bible here, Israel has created a great sin, and God is angry at the sin, and naturally wherever sin is, the wages of sin is there also. So death will reign, brother, when sin's flowing. I always say this, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and charge you more than you want to pay. And that's simply the truth. So if you read Numbers 25, verse 1, and Israel abode in Shechem, and the people begin to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. There's always seemed to be a lust factor seem around the body of Christ for some reason. I don't know why. You know, going by their flesh instead of going by their spirit. Now watch this. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord. How would you like to have a pastor like that? Just rip your head off, bless God, and hang it outside on the church sign. He's just a bad preacher, brother. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and have them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay you every one his men that were joined unto Baal-peor. Now, why was that going on? Because, you see, Jesus had not yet come. You got to understand something. Jesus came preaching the gospel. What does the word gospel mean? Good news. Do you know the word gospel is not in the Old Testament? Wonder why? Because there ain't no good news back there. You understand? Get your head cut off if you mess with that. But in the New Testament, Jesus came preaching good news. Now watch this. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto the brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now watch this. These people were repenting and said, God, forgive me. Excuse my French. This guy go gets this whore and just walks right past everybody, and he's going to take this whore into this room and just begin to commit sexual lust. Oh, and here people are asking God to forgive him of all this trash. But notice this in verse 7. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through. Whoo, that's tough, isn't it? The man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. This man had such zeal, and because people could not approach the throne of God, God had to work on those kind of people's levels. And he had such a zeal, but he stopped the plague that was coming against Israel. What I'm saying is here, I want to deal with tonight. I am the Christian the devil warned you about. I made up my mind that every devil in hell is going to know me by my first name. You know, some people get mad at me. I had one guy say, I don't like you. I said, if you knew me, you would love me. I'm a nice guy. I really am. Glory to God. Now, I know I'm weird because I'm not of this world. Amen. Actually, I'm an alien. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. Glory to God. So when you understand something, people say, but Jesse, you got boldness. No, I don't. People think I do. I really don't. I pray for boldness. But see, if I had it, I wouldn't have to pray for it. But I have to pray for boldness, you know, and faith coming by hearing. But I made up my mind, as I said earlier, that I'm going to live for Jesus Christ no matter what. Now, I've had the devil. Some people don't think, bless God, that I ever have any trouble at all because I laugh all the time and I smile all the time. Kenneth Copeland said, Jesse, you got joy like I've never seen anybody in my life. Boy, you pressed down, shaking together, running over with joy. And I said, well, praise God. It's the strength of God. But I had a woman walk up to me not long ago, Brother Broswell. She's kind of mad at me about something. She said, I guess your faith ain't never been tested. I said, honey, since I saw you, it's been tested severely. Now you know why I don't pastor churches. Glory to God. I thought, what's the matter with you, woman? Because I'm not bawling and squalling and going down. That doesn't mean the devil don't fight me. He fights me all the time. But I learned something. If God be for me, who could be against me? I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he who is in you than he was in the world. In other words, bless God, I can be depressed or I can be alive. I can be happy or I can be sad. I just chose happy. I just chose happy. I get up in the morning sometimes, things make me mad, but I decide, no, I'll not be mad about that today. I'll rejoice in the anointing of who God is and what God is inside of me. Now, Phinehas had such a zeal that he literally caused, he killed those people. Now, you got to understand, in those days, it's a totally different system then. That was under the old covenant. But Jesus said today that we ought to have the same righteousness or the same zeal as Phinehas had. So I want to deal with zeal. Number one, write this down. The source of godly zeal is the Holy Ghost. Write that down. The source of godly zeal is the Holy Ghost. It's not emotional feeling. It's not trying to get somebody's attention by hollering as loud as you can. No, no. The source of godly zeal is the Holy Ghost. You don't do something until the Holy Ghost tells you to do it. Now, that's why the church world has preached against the Holy Ghost for centuries, because that's where the power is. So they say that's not for the day. And the reason why they say that's not for today, because centuries ago, they quit fasting and praying and started feasting and playing. And when you start feasting and playing, instead of fasting and praying, you lose the power of God in your life. See, then after a while, you have to create something called religion. Now, you know, if you're from New Orleans, Louisiana, you got to be Catholic at least once. I mean, that's just the way it is. And probably Mobile, too. How many of y'all been Catholic at least once? Hold your hand up. See, I thought so. And that's just the way it is. We were taught to pray prayers, what I call certain kind of prayers. Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And oh, hail Mary, blessed are you, blah, 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 blah. Our Father art in heaven. We'd say them real fast so we could get them over quick. So, you know, when you're raised Catholic, it's not like a Protestant. Because, you see, we thought you Protestants were bad people. Because Protestant means protester. You are a protester. You left the Holy Roman Catholic Church. You left the Mother Church. What's the matter with you? Now, you got to understand, you know, when I got over into this ranks here, like full gospels, assemblies of God and all that kind of stuff, Pentecostal church, I wasn't used to hearing people pray like they pray. You know, we didn't do that kind of stuff. I mean, Protestants pray loud. Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God! God! Jesus, Lord! God! He's going, what? What? What is the problem here, man? I mean, you know, like as if God's deaf or something. We didn't do that, glory to God. In fact, we didn't talk to God. We talked to the priest. Yeah. And I noticed them, man. I mean, my God, they would just pray hard. And this was years ago. And I'm looking across this great congregation. We have some beautiful ladies here tonight. But do you know most of you could not be saved 30 years ago? You got makeup on your faces, you bunch of Jezebels from hell. They would have destroyed you, man. We had the ugliest people in church 30 years ago you ever saw in your life. I'm talking some major sweat homes. You know what I'm saying? Bad. The source of godly zeal is the Holy Ghost. But you know, it took me 3 years to get the Holy Ghost. Like to beat my brains out getting the Holy Ghost. Because everybody told me to tarry. instead of receive. I'd go down there and they'd pray on me, beat me in the head, beat me on the back, spit in my face, the bad breath, underarm deodorant failed. It's hard to concentrate when somebody stinks like a dog, man. And they'd say, speak it out and hold on and hang loose. And I'd say, finally I got angry. I said, get out of here, man. Leave me alone. If this is a gift, this is the hardest gift I've ever got in my life. Because it made it worse instead of receiving. They said, speak in another tongue. I said, what do you want me to say? All I know is English. Well, I'm a Frenchman. I can say, il est un peu drôle, mais il vous va très bien. See, a Frenchman never really gives you a good compliment. He says, it's a little funny looking, but it's very becoming. See, the French language, we would say, I am soaking wet. But the French language says, je suis mouillé jusque so, which means you soak to the bones. I mean, you're wet, see. So I didn't know what to say. I tried to get the Holy Ghost, couldn't get it. But I had a zeal in my life. I would witness at the drop of a hat. I knew just enough to be dangerous. And I was not embarrassed to serve Jesus publicly. I wasn't embarrassed to pray in a public place. No, because I wasn't embarrassed to drink in one when I wasn't saved. I wasn't embarrassed to smoke dope. I wasn't embarrassed to chase women. I wasn't embarrassed to do any of that stuff. Well, when I got saved, I made up my mind. Bless God, if I'm going to pray over my food, everyone else in there is going to pray over it too. So I'd go in the restroom, I'd bow my head, I'd say, Father! More people go, ooh, and they drop their forks. Jesus, the band's praying. Bless this food, I'm my day! Now, I'm not telling you to go do that because I didn't have a lot of sense, but I sure had a lot of zeal. The source of godly zeal is the Holy Ghost. Now, that source of godly zeal draws its vital force from the constant operations of the Spirit in the soul. If you notice when we came out and started this meeting, we immediately began to flow in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because it's His meeting. See, He understands these things. He can put you in a place where you never could be. But you got to have zeal to get there. I made up my mind. I was coming to Mobile, Alabama, and I didn't care if anybody was going to come. I preached my own self a revival. I have stood in front of a mirror and preached to myself for 45 minutes, spit flying, give an altar call and answer it. I've answered my own altar calls, ladies and gentlemen. It don't make a lick of difference to me. I'll pick up an offering. I'll give and I'll receive. I heard myself preaching on radio one time, set myself $100 on how much I liked it. I am as serious as I can be. I made up my mind, devil, you want to fight? A fight you're going to get. You want some of me? Leapfrog. Because I made up my mind, I'm going to run over you because of the Spirit of God in me said I could. Said I could. And I'm going to take my rights in Jesus Christ. And I don't care if the church world gets mad as a hornet. If He says greater is He who's in you than He who's in the world, then bless God. I don't care if you're Catholic. Put that television by my face. I don't care if you're Baptist. I don't care if you're Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Church of God, Church of Christ, Word of Faith, Full Gospel. I'm going to believe this Bible. Glory! Yes! Yes, I am. Hallelujah. Zeal. I am the Christian the devil warned you about. I never forget one time me and my pastor years ago. He said, Jess, I got to go to the crazy ward at Charity Hospital in New Orleans. I went, yeah, glory, I got all to fit good there. We got to go cast the devil out of a girl that's tried to commit suicide 3 times. Thank God they got her just before she went out. I never forget this. I went to this crazy ward. Zeal. I could hear this. Dun, 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 dun. We were going to war, glory to God. And my pastor said, don't get crazy. I said, I won't get crazy. But I was drawing that force from the Holy Ghost. The Lord says that the demon possessed, the deliverer comes today. And it wasn't Jesse, it was Jesus. But you got to have a righteous indignation. And I went in there, and there was this little girl that had her hands tied to her waist. She was sitting on the line. She says, you here, you here, you here. She's mine, she's mine, she's mine. I said, oh, no, she's not. And like a cat, boom, she springs out, hit me right in the chest, spit flying me, rolling on the floor. Come out, devil. They got the people in the white coats going, oh, my God, what's going on? Oh, my God, what's happening? We're casting out devils. I went and stood right in the middle of about 40 of them. They were all fruitcakes. And I went, you demon devils from hell up. And they're going, ah, ah. We was having fun. I am the Christian the devil warned you about. Hallelujah. I tell you, the electrical lock shorted out. And we couldn't get out. We were stuck. And my pastor said, we're stuck. We can't get out. I said, hey. To me, it was charge. This demon-possessed person said, you want out? Do you want out? Do you want out? Do you want out? You need to get out. You need to get out. She took her finger and stuck it right in the middle of a socket. The fire flew and the door opened. Get out, get out, get out, get out. Devil didn't want us in there, boy. The Methodist chaplain says, I have never seen nothing like that in my life. I said, well, you should have. Your founder was John Wesley. Amen. You should have. My God, he believed in the power of the Holy Ghost. You shut up, and it ain't his fault. What happened? Feasting and playing instead of fasting and praying. Now, don't write me no ugly letter because I'm not going to answer it. The source of godly zeal is the Holy Ghost. I'm not against Methodists. I'm against the devil. I had a guy write me that not long ago. He said, you don't like homosexuals. I said, yes, I do. I don't have a problem with a homosexual. I have a problem with homosexuality. Man, I'm trying to help you. You're dying and going to hell. I'm trying to stop you from going to hell. Now, they get mad at me, some of them. I mean, I've had zeal. I went into the homosexual quarter and just chased them devils all over the streets. They go, quit, 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 quit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think, hallelujah. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just trying to get the devil out the guy. Oh, out the girl, whatever. You see, to me, this zeal is not just a mere thing of the brain. It's not just in the realm of the senses or intellectual power. This is the redeemed of the Lord that ought to be saying so. If you think God is quiet, man, you have missed it 100 miles. Suddenly there's a sound of a rushing mighty wind. And God don't come to town saying, hello, hello. No, God comes to town like a hurricane. Blown away sin, sickness, and disease. Glory! I am the Christian the devil warned you about. Is he saying that about you? Listen to me. It's not an intellectual power or a thing of the brain. No, it's the source of God is the Holy Ghost. And the reason why he wants you to flow in it so your intellectual activity don't try to mess it up. Amen. Now, I may not sound educated, but I am. I can preach homiletically, hermeneutically, philosophically, theologically. I got a PhD, Brother Broswell. I'm past having doubts. That's as high as you can get. I can preach to the academic crowd. Just change my vocabulary. That person looks so odious to me. But if you're a kid, you say, Mom, Mama, you ugly. No, instead of odious. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the source of godly zeal is the Holy Ghost. Amen. The devil won't scared that you're going to get up tomorrow again. Amen. If you've been standing and believing God for your husband, don't get depressed about it. Amen. It's his tough luck. He married you. Amen. Amen. You got the promise of your family down to 1,000 generations. Hallelujah. How long does it take till he gives in? And the reason why he's mad, because I said it last night, I'll say it again. The Lord has sanctified the boy. Sanctified means set apart for salvation. Set apart. Notice he can't get along with the world because he wants you to go in the world with him. He can't get along with the church because you're there. And so he can't get along with the world. He can't get along with the church. So God's jerked him out of the world. He's out of the church and God's put him over here and the Holy Ghost going bam, 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 bam. Just knocking sin off the boy. Hang on. It'll happen. Why? You got the promise of your family. You know what that woman used to do me before I was saved? She got saved before I did. I could feel those fingers coming across the sheets. She'd ever so lightly put her hand on my shoulder and say, come out, devil. I said, hey, woman, I'm awake. Get your hand off me. Trying to cast the devil out of me. But I'm preaching the gospel today. Amen. Yes. Now, if you knew me before, I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. I snorted cocaine, smoked a little dope a week. I'm telling you, I never saw an ugly woman in my life. It didn't make a leg of difference to me before. I was full of the death. Don't look at me weird. You come out the drug culture too.
Amen.
It's called Vietnam, man. I'm telling you, it was wild time. I didn't care if you was fat. Man, a fat woman give you shade in the summer and heat in the winter. Man, it didn't make a leg of difference to me. I was wild. I was crazy. I was insane. Full of sin. But Jesus came. And the blood of Jesus washed my sin away. And the Holy Ghost gave me power and dominion over that. And gave me something called zeal to attack sin. Had a preacher friend of mine committed adultery. He said, I don't know why I did what I did. I said, I know why you did what you did. Because you don't hate sin. He said, yeah, I do. I said, no, you don't. You hate what sin does to you. You don't hate sin. You hate what it does to you. See, that's the problem with people. See, if you hate something, you don't mess with it. George Bush, the president of the United States before, he hated broccoli. You heard him say it? I don't want broccoli in the White House. I don't want it on Air Force One. I guarantee you, you can put a steaming big plate of broccoli in front of President Bush and he'll not touch it. Why? Because he hates it. And if you hate something, you don't mess with it. See, so most people don't hate sin. They just hate what it does to them. They hate the wages of sin, see. But I've learned to hate sin. I had a man say, Brother Jesse, you think you'll ever fall? I said, I don't make provisions for failure, brother. I know what they're thinking. They want to use the scripture. Take heed when a man think he stand, lest he fall. Take heed when a man think he stand, lest he fall. Well, you see, if you're a dead man, you can't do nothing. I had a woman, you know, I ain't the ugliest man in the world. Every once in a while I get hit on. That's the truth. I ain't kidding you. They think you got white hair and a suit on, you got a little money, you know. I had a woman say, hey, would you like to have some company? I said, I'm a dead man. She went, oh, I'm sorry. She said, how long have you had this problem? I said, about 15, 20 years. She said, have you had any medical help? I said, no, I enjoy being dead. See, it's not me that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. If you embarrass sin, sin will run from you. So notice this. What makes you the Christian the devil warned you about? That source of godly zeal called the Holy Ghost. Now, number two, the object of godly zeal. See, if you got zeal, you got to have an object of it. What is that? What is the object of godly zeal? Good works. Like I said, you must hate sin with a passion, not just hate what sin does to you. See, when you have this zeal in your life, it travails in birth for the salvation of souls. Paul before King Agrippa. Man, I'm telling you, putting the word of God on that boy, zeal pushed Paul to do what he did. Paul the apostle, man, you talk about a chief of sinners, he was a murderer.
Sure was.
He'd kill you in a second. Over what? Religion.
Amen.
Boy, religion will destroy you. More people have died in the name of religion than anything else in the world. You know that?
Amen.
Religion's man-made. I have people say, you, sir, in this religion called Christianity? I said, no. I'm in Christ.
Hallelujah.
The anointed and his anointing. You make all that religious junk. Jesus was a blessing going somewhere to bless. You know, by the time Jesus came upon the earth, the Jews added over 400 laws to the book of Moses. That's what religion will do to you. It always puts a law that you can't keep. And that you can never account and never get up the way you're supposed to be. But listen to this object of godly zeal, which is good works. So zeal travails in birth for the salvation of souls. Zeal also creates opportunities for usefulness. Write that down. Zeal creates opportunities for usefulness. Sometimes God will say, I want you to do this. One time I walked into this restaurant. I didn't want to do it. I'm just standing there waiting for a table. And I'm just standing there waiting for a table. And I'm moving the gifts of the Spirit. Bless God. And I'm just sitting there and I look and I see this person sitting there, this lady. I don't know who she is. You don't know me. All of a sudden, I can just read her life. The Lord said, now you go down there and tell her this. I said, Lord, I don't know that woman. I don't want to go down. I'm trying to come over here to get something to eat and go back to the hotel. He said, just go tell her that I heard a prayer. So I just walked. I said, excuse me. And she said, yes, can I help you? I said, no, but I can help you. She said, what? I said, you are separated from your husband. She went, huh? I said, it happened 2 days ago, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's caused you much torment and pain. And he told you he's going to take the kids. Oh, she busted out crying. I mean, bawling and squalling. Heavy sob. See, when a woman cry. Now, men don't cry like a woman. Men are embarrassed to cry. They go, boy, I tell you. Boy, this cold's killing me, man. I tell you what. See, because they're embarrassed to cry. They've been told all their life not to cry. My grandfather told me, you don't cry. I said, but Grandpa, my brother nailed my hand to a stump like Jesus Christ. And I can't cry? No, don't cry. Boy, you a man. Get some kerosene. Put it on there, boy. You can tell how far back that is. I mean, my brother nailed me to a stump like Jesus Christ. You think I'm kidding you? This is the hand. Look at that scar right there, brother. Right through it. Look where it came out on this side. See it right there? You know how kids are. I'll hold that story about the lady. I'll come back to it. He was nailing some nails in the stump. I was about 6 years old. I said, I want to nail some nails, Wayne. He said, ah, get out of here, Jesse. I said, I want to nail this, my oldest brother. I want to nail some nails. So I put my hand. I said, you ain't going to nail no nails. He said, if you don't move your hand, I'll nail your hand to the stump like Jesus Christ. I said, you wouldn't do it. So I stuck my hand out there. He put the nail in. Yeah, what? I said, now you want, yeah, what? Wham! He did. He did. Nail me to the stump. Mama! My daddy come over there with a crowbar. He said, now, boy, this is going to smarts a little. I mean, the flesh flew, boy. My grandpa says, put some coal oil on the thing. Wrap it up with a rag. It'll be all right. He's dead today. Zeal creates opportunities for usefulness. I mean, the Lord just read that woman's mind. The Spirit of God just touched her. I said, I want to tell you something. I said, if you'll go home right now, when you get to your door, your phone will start ringing to be your husband. He has repented. The Spirit of God talked to him in a car. And he's coming home saying he's sorry. I said, now that's it. I'm going to eat. See you later. Bye. Boy, she hooked up out of that restaurant, just took off. Ran straight to the house. Sure enough, it happened. Called. She ran back to the restaurant and told him, she said, can you read minds? I said, I can't even read my own mind, much less yours, ma'am. No. I said, it's the Spirit of God. Then God began to quicken. I said, you was an assembly of God. The girl got away from God because your daddy messed up, made some trouble. Went out, ran off with the piano player, and you've accused God over all that all your life. Boy, she busted out crying again. And went, man, when she's sobbing, and people looking at me like, what you telling her, you dog? Hey, it ain't my fault. But you see, zeal creates opportunities for usefulness. Zeal causes a thirst for knowledge and seeks for fellowship. You see, I just don't want to know about God. I want to know God. You go over here and preach a while, praise God. I just don't want to know about God. See, the church taught me about God. But I want to know God. You know what I'm saying? That's a pretty baby. Hallelujah. What are you saying? Now, I know I'm getting out of the lights, boys, but that's all right. What I'm saying is this. I want to know God instead of just know about it. In other words, I want to talk to Him instead of just pray to Him. How many of y'all want to do the same thing? You know how you do that? You do that with fellowship. Now, how do you get to know somebody? Fellowship. You go out to dinner. You know, you do all these kind of different things. You know, a lot of people say, I know Brother Jesse. No, you don't know Brother Jesse. You know about Brother Jesse. Kathy knows Brother Jesse. Mine and LaVeta Burke, they know me. They spend time with me. I've been to Brother Broswell's house, and he knows me. We haven't got as much fellowship as we want to because I'm so busy. But I enjoy fellowship. So I decided to fellowship with God. I want to tell you something. Most of the church world told me I couldn't do that. Who do you think you are? That's nothing to do with what I think I am. It's who he thinks I am.
Amen. Amen.
See?
Amen.
I found that most people are just jealous. When you can go to the throne yourself. See? Because see, there's zeal. And I said, God, why do I have such a thirst for you? He said, because you got zeal. See? You got zeal. Zeal. The object of God's zeal is good works. The source of God's zeal is the Holy Ghost. That's what Phinehas had. He said, I am not going to let this sin get into the very nostrils of God. I'll stop this today. Now, that may have been strong. I wouldn't go kill somebody, you know. But in those days, that's how things got done. In fact, you go over there right now, that's how things get done. You steal something, they cut your hand off. Women can't drive. Women are sexual slaves over there, man. Shut up, woman. Just cook and raise kids. They get mad if they catch a woman behind a car. But Jesus came and liberated women.
Hallelujah.
I'm so excited about what God's doing in the women ministry. Amen. Elevating women. My God, it's about time. Some of these old jealous men trying to hold them down for centuries.
Amen.
My God, I appreciate Joyce Myers and all these people that God has called up to preach this gospel. Glory to God. Marilyn Hickey, all of them. It's good. Ann Jimenez and Kathy Duplantis. Glory to God. Gloria Copeland. I had to put her in there. Praise God. All, yeah, it's a blessing to me. Some men say, I tell you what, I don't want no woman usurping authority over you. She ain't usurping authority over you. She's controlling you. Women control the world, man. Come on. Women are controlling the world. 80% of all goods are bought by women. That's why when you walk into a mall and you walk into a store, you'll walk into women's cosmetics or women's shoes or women's dresses. If you want to know where the men's department is, it's in the back on the left-hand side by the bathrooms. You know why? Because men don't have no money. They ain't got no money. They control the world. They're powerful species. God called them woman. A woman. 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 They control the world. It does. It's, if mama ain't pleased, ain't nobody pleased. Even the dog knows that. It's her house. It's her coffee table. It's your mortgage note. I don't know why women can move furniture. Women get our most powerful species. They can move a piano upstairs, a refrigerator upstairs, but they can't take out the garbage. I don't understand that. The garbage don't weigh as much as that refrigerator, but they don't like to mess with anything that stinks. It stinks. Women are real funny about that. Women don't dress for men. Women dress for women. They make us believe they dress for us, but it's a lie from the pits of hell. Men don't even notice that much stuff. Women dress for women. Women look at each other and go, boy, she got a pretty dress, but I wouldn't wear them funky shoes she got on. I tell you that. Hey, women are bad about that kind of stuff. Men, they don't care. They buy a pair of shoes. They go, okay, yeah, that's good. Sounds good to me. All right. Out the door. You know what I mean? But women, boy, you know, did you see her dress? We were preaching in Hawaii February of this year, and Kathy wanted to go to this dress shop, certain dress shop, to get this dress, whatever. So I said, okay. Now, when you walk into a dress shop and they tell you to sit down and offer you something to drink, you're about ready to get hit pretty hard. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this ain't Kmart. You know what I'm saying? This ain't Walmart. Walmart says, hello, shake your hand. What you buying? But this place says, sit down, son. The air costs money in here. So Kathy had to go to the bathroom. And that's another thing I don't understand. Women go to the bathroom so much, I ain't never seen. They go to the bathroom when they don't need to go to the bathroom. I've seen them go to the bathroom. I said, well, where are we going? Well, I better go to the bathroom. I said, do you have to go? Well, no. But then how can you? That don't make sense to me. I mean, you gotta go. There should be an urge and a feeling to want to go to the bathroom. Huh? But not a woman. A woman says, oh, well, we're driving for a couple hours. I better go now. Well, you just went. Yeah, but I better go again. Well, do you have to? No. Well, then how can you? I don't understand that. I don't know. I've argued about that with that woman over there. I said, that don't make sense to me. But that's just, they taught like that when they're little girls. It's time for you to go to the bathroom. Kid don't have to go, but they just go. So Kathy says, I got to go to the bathroom. So the lady says, okay, you got to go to the back. Evidently, it must have been somebody in there because Kathy was waiting. Here comes this woman. She's a little fat. I don't care if she's fat. Don't make me no difference. I could care less. She comes in with her husband. She sits down. He sits down by me, looks at me, says, how you doing? I said, fine, how you doing? I don't know him. He don't know me. I'm waiting for Kathy to come back. This woman puts on one of these knit dresses. What do you call them things? St. John knit. Knit, you know. And I mean, and don't ask me something if you don't want the truth. So I'm just sitting there. She says, honey, what do you think? Now, that's a little tight. And I mean, you can see all kinds of, you know, it's a little tight. So I'm just sitting there, minding my own business, waiting for my wife to come back from the bathroom. And I'm thinking, I bet she ain't got to go, but she's just going just to aggravate me. I bet that's what it is. Anyway, I'm sitting there waiting to get, and it's a little tight. He says, honey, she said, do you like it? He says, I like it. Well, do you think it's tight? So the lady looks at me, she says, hi. I said, hello. She said, do you like this dress? And I said, yes, ma'am, I think it's a very pretty dress. She said, do you think it's too tight? I said, well, there's a bump over here that we can, I don't know what this bump is, but she had all kind of, looked like Swiss cheese. I said, whoa. So I ain't gonna sell me, you know. She said, can you see my cellulite? I said, oh, that's not cellulite, that's hail damage. That's what that is. What do you want me to say? Just stay out them hailstorms. You know what I mean? You'll be all right. Don't ask me, man, if you don't want the truth. I said, there's a bump. And then her husband said, well, I'll tell you the truth, honey, got three bumps on this side, too. So she said, I'm not going to wear that dress. And the lady says something. She says, I can fix that. You can. She said, I'll block it. Block it? I don't know what blocking is. The lady went back, took the dress off. They went and blocked that dress. Now, what they do with that, I don't know. But they did it. She comes back, put the dress on, couldn't see a bump. All the bumps were gone. Cost the guy $800 to get rid of them bumps. They shouldn't ask me. She kept saying, I have a lot of bumps. He says, good, just a few, honey. I don't care. It doesn't make me no difference. See, this zeal gives you an opportunity for usefulness, causes you to thirst for knowledge and seek some fellowship. So when I get a chance, I say, hello, Jesus. He said, hi, Jesse. How you doing? Isn't that a blessing? I don't wait till Sunday to say, hello, Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? I enjoy the word of God. It's just such a blessing. I'm the Christian the devil warned you about. Sometimes I just aggravate the devil. How do you do that? Sometimes I make him think I'm going to just charge someone. He goes, oh, no, oh, no, no. I just keep him full of stress. I like the bar to be stressed out. I don't like the devil. Now, the devil's not Sister So-and-so. She may act like a devil, but she's not the devil. Or Brother So-and-so. Amen. Those are people. Just get rid of the devil and keep the people. And when you understand what true zeal is mixed with knowledge. See, zeal without knowledge causes trouble. But true zeal is mixed with knowledge. To enlighten others, watch this, you must have light yourself. You can't enlighten someone if you're not lighting yourself. You see, me, I love everybody. I don't see black, I don't see white, I don't see fat, I don't see skinny, I don't see ugly, I don't see pretty, I see a person. End the statement. You know what I'm saying? Makes me no difference what color, race you are, what nationality or creed. Hey, we're from America. We don't know what we are. If you think you're a blue blood, you are living in a dream world. The United States of America is made up of immigrants. Amen. And by the time we got off that ship, we'd have married an alligator if the thing would have stand there long enough. Come on, man. I'm German. You ain't German. You might have a piece of German in you. Ain't no telling what we are. You see what I'm saying? People are people. So to enlighten others, you must have light yourself. How you going to go pray for healing for someone when you're sick as a dog yourself? I'll tell you how, by not going by what you see. Now, I see people think you're denying. No, you're not denying. You're denying it's right to stay there. Right. I've had many opportunities to be sick. I just don't take any. Amen. I've had people say, you know, the Hong Kong flu is coming around. Well, now they got names for it. Hong Kong swine and every kind of. I'd rather have the Hong Kong than the pig flu. What does the pig flu do? Make you snort? All the time? I don't know. But you know, I said, no, I'm not going to receive that. Now people go, no. Oh, you one of those word of faith people. What are you, word of doubt? How do you ever separate people from word of faith? What are you? Everybody's word of faith. How do you know that? Because by Jesus Christ, are you saved? It took faith to believe that. Ain't nobody can prove to me here that you're going to heaven when you die. You don't have a contract signed by God saying you're going. You accepted Jesus by faith. The Methodist, the Baptist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Church of God, Church of Christ, Word of Faith. All that kind of stuff. We all Word of Faith. I don't know why they want to separate somebody. Say, you're a Word of Faith. Well, what are you? Word of doubt? Word of unbelief? No. You understand what I'm saying? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I realized that true zeal is mixed with knowledge. So for me to enlighten someone, I must have light myself. Now let me show you how powerful light is. Everybody look up. We got television lights here. And we have some lights here at this Mobile Civic Center here in Mobile, Alabama. But if you look out that door back there, look back that door back there. See all that darkness out there? That darkness is all over the top of the roof of this building. It's trying to get in. It's trying to get in here. Yet these little small lights, all these lights here, is keeping that massive, it's dark from here to New Orleans, here to Atlanta, here to New York, here to Miami, here to Tennessee, here to Minneapolis. Glory, it's dark. Bless God, it's dark. It's trying to get in here, but the light's keeping it out. This amount of light is keeping all that darkness out on the top of this roof. Well, Brother Jesse, how do I keep darkness out of my life? Keep the light on. Just keep the light on. To enlighten others, you must have light yourself. Now, how do you get light? By receiving it from the Word of God. Now, you see, people have a bad preachers, especially. Moses was so mad at Israel. Israel broke one commandment, and Moses broke 10. He up there 40 days in that mountain getting them tablets. Bless God, I mean, that's a piece of artwork. They broke one commandment. Have no other gods before me. They fixed the golden calf. Moses got so mad because they broke one. God, wham! He broke ten. So if some, what are you saying? If somebody makes a mistake, don't break ten commandments on top of their head. And God said, Moses, I just made the tablets. Boom, get back up there. I got to give you another set. Just because somebody makes a mistake, you don't have to break ten of them on top of their heads. You understand what I'm saying? To enlighten others, you must have light yourself. Now, zeal in its true nature is forgetful of itself. It doesn't carry what I call pride with it. Self-denial is an element of true greatness. I've had people say, but I had a man tell me this the other night. You healed me. I said, no, I didn't. If I could, I'd have done it earlier. I can't heal a soul, but Christ in me can heal anybody. See what I'm saying? I can't save a soul, but Christ in me, bless God, can save the whole bunch. Brother Copeland told me the other day, he said, you can get people saved giving announcements. It's amazing. That ain't me. It's that gift of God. I just go with the flow of it. See? It's called self-denial. See, brave works wins crowns. Brave works for God wins crowns. Now, you know, I decided to be the Christian the devil warned you about. And there'll be some people to warn you about Jesse Duplantis. Well, you don't know what they're going to do. And some religious spirits are terrible about that. To me, the best spirit to knock out is a religious spirit. Let me say this in close. When you understand zeal, what it does, the only way you're going to truly understand zeal is mixing and having fellowship with the Father. One thing about the disciples, you would figure they've been with Jesus for 3 years, saw the dead raised, fish multiplied, fed people. You would think, my God, there ain't nothing this man could do they wouldn't believe. Huh? I mean, these guys are something. But you know, they were worried about money. Because one day the Greeks came to see Jesus. The Greeks, ladies and gentlemen. The Greeks, the high order that day. The Greeks. I mean, they got continental donkeys and Cadillac donkeys outside, you know. I mean, these ain't no broke down junkyard dog people. This is the Greeks. These are the people with the bucks. The Greeks. So Jesus over there meditating, and they all thought he's nuts anyway, because the Bible said he was beside himself. I preached a sermon called, Was Jesus Insane? It's a good tape. Bless you. What I'm saying was, so all of a sudden, John figures, bless God, that's the Greeks. They want to talk to Jesus. We're going to eat good tonight, boy. We're going to get a good offering today. Glory to God, the Greeks here. You saw that Rolls Royce donkey? Yeah. Glory to God. We're going to make it today. Woo! We're not going to sleep in roadway. We're going to be at the Hilton tonight. Glory to God. So Peter, John says, Peter, go tell Jesus the Greeks want to see him. So Peter's all excited about it. He said, oh, yeah, okay, man. So he runs. He said, Jesus. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, yeah, what do you want? He said, Jesus, the Greeks want to see you. In fact, let me tell you what they just said. They said, we would see Jesus. Do you want to see him? This is the Greeks, Jesus. This is the Greeks. Ain't the Pharisees. These are the Greeks. The Greeks, Jesus. The Greeks. Do you want to see him, Jesus? Jesus looks at him and says, if a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abide it by itself. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What? If a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, Peter, it abide by itself. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. There goes the Hilton Hotel right there, boy. I tell you what. John said, what did he say? He said something about corn, wheat, fall down, die, broke. I don't know what he said. He said, did you tell him the Greeks come to see him? Yeah, but he come up with some corn stuff. I don't know what it was. You know how he is. The other day, he couldn't recognize his mom and daddy. Woo, woo, woo. Who's my mother? Who's my brother? Whoa, man, you know, he's tripping here, you know? I hope we haven't hung our star on the wrong man. Go tell him the Greeks came to see him. Okay, I'll tell him. All right, bless God. Jesus! Yeah, Peter. Jesus. The Greeks come to see you, Jesus. The PhDs, the master degrees, the bachelors. Jesus, they got money. Jesus, the Greeks, they said we would see Jesus. Okay, I was waiting for her to finish. Hallelujah. You want to see him? He looks at Peter again. He says, Peter, If a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth by itself. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Mr. Greeks, he ain't seeing nobody today. He is kind of tired. Peter and them couldn't understand a word. He was talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of who he was. He said, if a corn of wheat, him fall on the ground and die, it abideth by itself. Or in other words, but if it die, or another, it goes into the pit, it bringeth forth much fruit. Peter, we don't need Greeks. What you need is a death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Then you say it to the mountain, be thou removed. Peter, you've been with me all this time and you yet not understand. Amen. Jesus was full of zeal. Amen. Zeal! Hey, Jesus, we talked this boy out of his fishing load. We told him to give his lunch to the ministry. You want to fish? No, let's feed the people. Woo, woo, woo. Let him go eat by himself, God. Did you know one of Jesus' greatest followers was an ex-prostitute named Mary Magdalene? I wonder what the district officer say about that. Well, I know she's saved and full of the Holy Ghost. Brother, I tell you one thing here, bless God, it don't look good. Don't look good. It just don't look good. You might ought to tell that woman not to follow you at them meets because it look bad, bad, bad. That's what they're going to say. Jesus gave her the greatest message any woman's ever said. First person ever see him alive. He said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Poor Peter. And he's the first pope. Ain't that a kick? But he don't know he was the first pope, but bless God, they made him the first pope. Go tell my disciples and Peter, I'm alive. Amen. That little lady ran down the road, glory to God. He's alive! He's alive! He's the last time! Mary, you nuts. No, she saw him.
Hallelujah.
She had zeal.
Amen.
Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, would you go do that? Let me say this in close. This is my last closing. I am the Christian the devil warned you about. Jesus didn't feel like walking that day. He said, so guys, go in town. If you see a donkey, just go get it. I want a donkey never been rode. You understand? In other words, don't give me no broke down junkyard dog donkey. I want a continental donkey. I want a town car donkey. Anybody ask you, just tell them the master needs of it. Go get it. He expected his boys to walk by faith. Now, let's put it in today's perspective. Brother Broswell would walk up to one of his assistants and say, now, I saw a town car on the showroom floor at such and such dealership. You go down there and just walk in there and tell them to give the keys to that thing. Sit down in it. Bless God. Tell them to open up the glass doors. You're going to drive it out because Dick Broswell says he needs of it. Now, how many of y'all going to do that? I know what you'd say. Brother Broswell's on his own. He expected them to do that. What drove him to that zeal? And every devil in hell, Jesus' biggest promoter was the devil. You know, if I was the devil, I'd shut up. But every time they saw Jesus, behold, the Son of God! The devil's stupid, you know, he's stupid, stupid. Behold, the Son of God! If I'd have been me, I'd say, shut up, boy, go over there, sit down. Jesus had to tell them to shut up. They would even fall on the ground and praise him. Amen. That made the devil mad. What happened? Yeah, them last three demons couldn't stand it. Saw his glory, just fell on the ground and stopped praising him. I'll kill him again. Well, you done killed him once. I'll kill him again. I don't know. You know, a devil ain't got a lot of sense. I honestly believe that Satan has Alzheimer myself. I really believe Satan has Alzheimer. Because if you shut your mouth, he won't know what to do. Well, laugh now. Did you see that? You went, ha, ha, because the Bible said we snared by the words of our mouth.
Amen.
The devil don't know your grandma had diabetes, and your grandpa and your grandpa and your Uncle Fred and your grandma's ducks had diabetes. Well, you know, diabetes just runs in our family. The devil goes, I forgot that.
Amen.
I surely don't want to miss this. It's the best thing, not say nothing. My last closing. I am the Christian the devil warned you about.
Amen.
thank the Lord now I have my own transportation because I've preached so many places the Lord's provided us with transportation to get there. But when I used to fly to commercial airlines, I tell you, when I had, you know, I was a million mile flyer with Delta, American, all of them, bunches of them, and I kept them in business. I've been down in 3 plane crashes. Now, I know what happens when them things start going down. People scream. And it's amazing. We were at about 33,000 feet. We had an engine catch a fire. The first thing I thought of, my God, the fuel is in them wings. And that engine's on fire. I could see the flame. Now, you got to remember, I was reading my Bible. This is man sitting next to me cussing me because I was reading the Bible. You stupid blankety blank. I can't believe that you believe God exists, you blankety blank. I wanted to do this. Lord, let me just pray. Oh, excuse me, mister. I didn't like that bozo brain, but he's an atheist. Brother, that captain came upon the intercom. He says, we'd like you. He nosedived that plane to get that baby down, trying to land that sucker. Now, watch this. It really makes you nervous when he said, get ready for heavy flame and smoke. Or in other words, they tell you to stoop over like it'll bow down. I mean, stick your head between your legs and kiss yourself goodbye. Because you got trouble on your hands. You're in trouble. Now, Monty is a United Airlines captain. He knows what I'm talking about. He can fly them big jets. Monty Burke, right there. I mean, because they got to protect. They're going to save as much life as they can. And we going down. Now, watch this. When that thing caught a fire and that captain throwed that thing in almost like, I wouldn't say a nosedive, but boy, we were coming down. That old atheist went, oh, God. I said, he don't exist. Enjoy your death. I couldn't help it. I had to say it. Do you know Baptists will speak in tongues when a plane going down? I mean, Catholics start singing in Latin. Oh, magnum mysterium. In nomine Patri, Padre, Filio, Spiritu Santo. Church of Christ to sing songs. Play a guitar. Boy, when that plane's going down, everybody come together in the unity of the faith. Oh, God! Ain't nobody reading Penthouse and Playboy. Let's get the word. Get the Gideon Bible out. Let's read the word here. Glory to God. Yeah. I should have picked up an offering. My God. Had 2 black women. One time on another plane, we were having trouble. 2 women were just cussing up a storm. I'm talking trash. Trash. But women can talk trash when they want to talk trash. And brother, our flaps wouldn't come down. The guy said, we're going to land in Honolulu, Hawaii, and we may fly off the runway. I'm going to lock these brakes because we can't bring the flaps down. We can't bring them down manually. We can't bring them down hydraulically. We're in trouble, so we're going to be going a lot faster when we touch the ground. And all of a sudden, the 2 black men, oh, Jesus. Wow, Jesus. Loud, loud. I turned around to them 2 black sisters. I said, wow, y'all sure change, y'all. Oh, we love the Lord. We love the Lord, Jesus. It's amazing how people come together in unity of faith when they're in trouble.
Amen.
It's the truth, man. I don't doubt if a Buddhist would have been on it. He went, oh, Buddha, it ain't working. Jesus! Listen, Buddha too fat to get here. We got to go. Get Jesus. Buddha don't run fast enough. Nah, don't get mad at me. Send me an ugly letter. Make a long story short. Naturally, we made it. Funniest part of it all was to see the ambulances waiting on you. You think, that's for us. Everybody repents. Everybody becomes a tither. You know, I need to pay back God everything I've told them. Well, going down, the Lord said, you're going to stand there and let the devil kill you? I said, no. He said, release your belt buckle and preach the word. So I released that belt buckle and stood up. And the stewardess couldn't tell me to sit down because they couldn't get to me. They was over there doing a numine patri filii spiritu santo. They're kissing crosses themselves. It gets rough. You know, after a while, you're on your own. I know that. They train you to help you, but sometimes they give up on you. I had one take off. Remember that time I had a hole blowed in the top of the plane? She took off. I had to go help this head stewardess. We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. I said, remember your training, girl. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, it's rough, man. It's called panic. So I just stood up and said, and I loud as I could be. You know, people didn't mind me being loud. Loud as I could be on that plane. We had about 300-something people. It was a big plane. I bind you in Jesus' name, you devil from hell. Get your ugly hand off this plane. You will not kill us, because death and life's in the power of my tongue. And I speak the word of life. I speak the word of life. Life, and that more abundantly. Man, I didn't have anybody saying, now be quiet, sir. They all going, amen. Man, me with people making signs of the cross. People were praying over pearls, using them for beads. Bless God, we got to get to Hail Mary fast. It's amazing how we all come together. Brother, that plane kind of halfway straightened out. And I prayed that baby down on tongues. It was a blessing to God. Brother, I want to let you know, it was a hair-raising experience. Everybody said, we're going to church Sunday. We're going to church Sunday. Them lying dogs. Zeal caused me to stand up.
Hallelujah.
Brother, when we landed that plane, I said, I want to let you know, y'all better thank God that I was on this plane. Oh, we do, Reverend. We do, Reverend. You building anything? Let me give you something here, bless God. No, you ain't need to give me nothing. What I'm saying is, to use godly zeal, sometimes you have to use it in the midst of great tragedy.
Amen.
Things do happen. This terrible accident that just happened in Everglades. That's a terrible thing. Still trying to find out why. You know? Well, I know one thing. God didn't kill him.
Amen.
Because every time Jesus went to your funeral, he messed them up. You couldn't invite Jesus to a funeral. He raised the bar up. He just come by the coffin and say, get up.
Yeah.
He raised people from the dead, man. He didn't care if you bought the flowers. He just get the guy right out the casket. That's how he was. So I know Jesus wasn't the killer of it. Well, who did it? Satan. Why did God permit it? Did he? I want to let you know something, ladies and gentlemen. You control your own destiny.
Amen.
By your knowledge of the Word of God and by the faith that's flowing out of your innermost being.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's a fact. See, I'm the Christian the devil warned you about.
Hallelujah.
Can I tell you one more?
Yes.
Good Lord, it's late. I apologize. One more.
Glory to God.
Now, Monty Burke, you're a chief pilot for United Airlines. We'll give him a plug. We fly the friendly skies of United. Okay. Glory to God. I was flying a jet back from Missoula, Montana, to Salt Lake City, Utah, to Denver, Colorado, to Dallas, Fort Worth, to New Orleans, Louisiana. And all I wanted to do was go to New Orleans, but I had to go to some other stops to get to New Orleans. Well, we flew from Missoula, landed in Salt Lake City, went from Salt Lake City to Denver. I'm going to catch my flight from Denver to DFW. So I'm sitting there, and I'll be honest with you, I wanted to see this girl. I hadn't seen her in a while. You can have, well, I'll take it. That's all right. And make a long story short, I said, boy, God, I want to get home. I've been out there a long time. I want to get home. So this is the old Denver Stapleton Airport. This is not before that new one's out there. So I'm standing there by the glass, and that old Denver Stapleton, man, you run that plane right up to that glass. It looked like you can come right through that glass. You know, you go, whoa. So I'm sitting there looking at this plane. The Spirit of God speaks to me. He says, Jess? I said, yeah, Lord. He said, go tell the ticket agent not to load this plane. I said, huh? I said, what? He said, this plane has harm on it. Tell him not to load this plane and don't fly this flight. I said, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. First thing I think of, I'm going to look like a fruitcake. Go, hello, I just talked to the Lord. I mean, you know, put yourself in my position. So the first thing I did, Monty, is I went to the ticket agent, and I'm going to check on. I said, when's the next flight to New Orleans? I figured, let them people die, Jack. I'll get another flight. I want out of here, you know. I thought, nah, I'm just listening to myself. And she said, the next flight to New Orleans is 9 hours.
9 hours. Yeah, 9 hours. You got to wait 9 hours and you get it. The Lord said, what are you asking for another time for? I was just trying to slip out, Jesus. He said, you go tell that lady that there's harm on this plane. Oh, man. So I didn't know what that. I'm going, my sweat running down the back of my leg, you know. I said, Jesus, Lord. But I am the Christian that ever warned you about zeal. All right, Lord. I said, excuse me, ma'am. She said, yes, sir. How can I help you? I said, I have come here to help you. She said, you have? I said, yes, my name is Reverend Jesse Duplantis. Oh, how you doing, Reverend? I said, I'm doing wonderful well, highly favored of the Lord and blessed. I said, I was standing over there by the glass, the Spirit of God spoke to me, told me to tell you not to load this plane because there's harm on this plane. She said, who talked to you? I said, the Spirit of God. I was standing over there, and I was standing by the glass there, and the Spirit of God told me to tell you not to load this plane. There'd be harm on this plane. She said, sir, we're about ready to load this plane. I said, I know that, but the Lord told me to tell you not to do it. It's harm on the plane. She said, really? I said, really? I said, I feel stupid. You probably think I'm crazy, but that's what God said. Now, that's all I'm going to say about that. She says, thank you. I said, you're welcome. Now, there's a guy about for me and my wife sitting there with a cigar going, this is when you could smoke, you know what I mean? He just looked at me, he's chewing that cigar like, see, so the lady gets up and she says, hello, this is Delta Airlines, we're getting ready, we're pre-board. I said, ma'am, did you hear what I said? And she clicked, she said, yes, I did, thank you. I said, okay. So they pre-boarded, then they started loading from the back to the front and all that, and they load that plane up. I am the last one sitting in that terminal out there, I'm in that gate. She said, sir, if you are going to get on this plane, you better go now. We are going to close the doors. I said, ma'am, did you hear? The Spirit of God spoke to me standing over by that window, and the Lord told me, tell you, if you take this plane out of here, it's going to cause much harm. Do you understand what I'm saying? She just looked at me and went, sir, there's not another flight to New Orleans for 9 hours. You don't have to get on this plane, but this plane's going to fly. I said, okay, ma'am. I'm going to sit here. She said, that's your business, your choice. She closed the door. She goes down the ramp, you know, pulls the thing back. That plane, they start pushing it out. I feel like the biggest idiot in town. First, I got to spend 9 hours with that woman that thinks I'm a fruitcake. I'm watching the plane. They're backing it out, you know. I'm thinking, you stupid, stupid devil, bozo brain, Jesse. Bozo, idiot. I'm hearing all this stuff. I'm going, shut up, devil. I'm just standing there looking. They backed it out like this. They start the engine. That sounds right, doesn't it? He goes, you know, he looks at the guy. Of course, they had already done the chocks. Does this. Takes his throttles. Ooh, and I'm thinking, you idiot, you are missing this plane. They don't get no more than 20 feet from that gate. Boom, she explodes. Back of the plane blows up. Thank God didn't blow the tail. I mean, smoke and fire. I went, yeah! Then I'm thinking, my God, Jesse, don't get excited. Oh, Jesus, whoa! Man, boom, the doors open. Wham, the chutes slide out. People sliding out. Wow, coming out. I go, wow! The lady goes running. She looks at me and I went, I didn't do this, but I meant this. Nah, 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 nah. Big idiot. Then I thought, my God, I hope nobody burned. Smoke coming out that baby. People flying down them chutes. Boy, I mean, them stewards, everybody working, them people getting, they got that plane unloaded. They're running out there, bless God, with all kinds of water. I'm sitting at the gate going, get down with your bad self, Jesse. I tell you one thing, boy, glory to God. I come back, that lady looked at me and said, I told you. Well, they had to get another plane, delayed us 2 hours. Get another plane somewhere. Oh, I don't know if they had one in the hangar somewhere or something like that. This is so funny. So I said, Lord, can I go on this plane? I don't want to wait 7 more hours, Lord. He said, this plane's fine. You can get on it. Hallelujah. The old boy, the cigar, he come up to me, goes, Hey, Rev, is this one okay? Forget that. I said, yes, sir. I spoke to the Lord about it. It's all right. He said, what seat assignment you got? I said, I'm in 10A. He said, I want 10B. And we flew to New Orleans. Well, we flew to Dallas and then on to New Orleans. Let me tell you something. Now, I wasn't excited that the plane blew up because nobody wants to do that. But you know what I was excited about is that I'd heard the voice of God correctly. That I knew, and Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. That's what I'm talking about. Stand to your feet. Spirit of God's in this building. I know it's late. It's about 12 minutes to 10. Kids got to go to school. You may got to go to work, but I got to be up early in the morning. Kathy preaching, I'm preaching in the morning. Let me tell you something. So many people said, if I just had more faith. Ladies and gentlemen, faith the size of a mustard seed to throw a mountain in the sea. You don't need more faith. You just need some zeal. How do you get that zeal, Holy Ghost? But you got to mix it with true knowledge, true understanding. Let me tell you something. God will honor you if you will honor Him. You know, and when the first test comes, you don't quit. You see, you can't have a testimony till you have a test. You can't have a victory unless you have a battle. Think about that. So when you hear people say, I've got the victory, they just come out of battle. Or I have a good testimony, they just got out of a test. See. I want to tell you something about Jesus. He loves you and so do I. I'm the Christian the devil warned you about. I want to be a threat to the devil. The greatest miracle is not the ones that happened a while ago when we were praying for the sick. And you people that we prayed for, you can go home. You're going to be all right. How's your eyes, sweetheart? Isn't that wonderful? Don't scratch no more, does it? Isn't that a kick? That's the lady. Don't ask me. You can ask her. Y'all thought I was faking. Some of you thought I was faking. Go ask her. I don't know her. She don't know me. I mean, you might have seen me somewhere, but I don't know her. God's word works. I want you to meet my friend Jesus. I never close a service unless I give you an opportunity to meet my friend. I call Jesus my friend because all I ever wanted in my life was a God that I could talk to. I didn't think God would talk to me because I heard that He wouldn't. But I found out that He loves me. With your head bowed, please. Your eyes closed. If you don't know Jesus tonight and you'd like to get saved for the very first time, would you give me the honor of walking to the throne of God with you? Yeah. See, it makes no difference to me if you go to church. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus or do you know about Him? But let me take it a step further. I used to not do this second step because I always throw that net out for that first fish. But the Lord arrested my mind. Maybe you're here tonight and no, you're not backslidden to hell, but you're not living the way you should live. And you need to draw closer to God. Some people call it rededicate. I call it selling out. Maybe a Christian hurt you or somebody harmed you or whatever. I don't know. But you need to come closer to God and sell out for Jesus. Would you give me the honor of walking to the throne of God with you? So let me go back to number one. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to get saved for the very first time, or if you're not where you should be with God and you need to draw closer to Him, would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see it and acknowledge it. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. I see those hands. I see those hands. By lifting of a hand, you're saying, yes, ma'am, I see your hand. I want to get saved. Or you're saying, Brother Jesse, I'm not where I should be. I need to draw closer. Yes, young man, I see your hand. Can I see another quickly? Yes, in the back, I see your hand. Yes, sir, I see your hand with the white shirt. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand, young man. You can put your hand down. Are there others? I want everybody praying. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Yes, I see that hand. That's why I came to Mobile. To be a blessing. I want it. Yes, I see your hand, sir. Yes, I see your hand. I want everyone to look at me right now. Yes, I see your hand. I'd never lie to you. I had so many people lie to me. I really did. I said, God, if you ever do anything with this Cajun boy, just the plants, I will tell people the truth. Jesus loves you, and so do I. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand, not some of you, every one of you, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat. Come stand here, right here in the front. In front of everybody? Yeah. Why? Why not? Jesus hung on the cross in front of everybody for you. All He asked you to do is just walk forward. So would you quickly come? If you lifted your hand, quickly come.
and receive Jesus. Give them a hand clap as they come, please.
What God can do.
Hallelujah, Lord. Just come forward. You lifted your hand. You just come forward. Hallelujah, Lord. Yeah. Well, look at the people here today. I want to pray with you people. It's a very simple prayer. It's not a prayer of feeling, even though you'll feel things. It's a prayer of faith. See, I thought if I didn't feel God, that God was mad at me. Or I wasn't living the way I should. And it's good to feel, don't misunderstand me. But it's a prayer of faith. I'm going to ask everybody in the audience to pray this prayer with us. Let's pray it together. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me, for bringing me back to where I once was. From this day forward, I will live for Jesus. I believe with my heart, and I confess with my mouth, that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this day is my day with Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Stand right there. Don't move for a minute. Give him a hand clap. Wasn't that easy? That wasn't hard, was it?